For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, happy Wednesday. Mike, here with Indeed, here to talk some independent wrestling. I've got Reg with me, as always. We've got a great guest this week. How are you doing, Reg?
I'm doing pretty good. It's my birthday week, as everybody knows. I'm in celebration mode. Mm-hmm. I've been legit for the last week. I've been thinking about rap 24 hours a day, so I'm trying to get back into, like, wrestling is also a thing. It's a great space to exist in, but it's also kind of a weird space to exist in. So, but happy to be here. Happy to be here with our guest today. It's a good, fun week, I think. Some cool things are happening in wrestling, so I like it.
Yeah, for sure. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
You know, new mixtape sounding great on the Bandcamp. Thank you. Maybe we get an Indeed theme song one day soon.
Yeah, I'm in that mode. I should do that.
But we both said it. We got a great guest today. Our guest today is one of the most talented commentators in the entire pro wrestling business.
Yes.
They've called the action for pretty much anywhere on earth that has English commentary that isn't on the USA Network or Peacock.
Yeah.
Also an outside of that, excellent vlogger, host of an awesome interview series called Drawing Power, a talented wrestler, one half of the tag team Birdlaw, one whole of a great person, the best freelance broadcasting talent in all of professional wrestling, Veda Scott. Welcome to Indeed.
Insane Hi. Intro. So good.
You just need to make sure that I have the right PayPal for when I send the...
Exactly.
Thank you.
Veda, how are you?
I am great. I have the comments up here, too. I'm trying to follow them, too. Someone's wishing you a happy birthday, Reg. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look at that. We'll just get the super chat out. Let's go. Beta for AEW, Beta for Glory Pro. Happy birthday, Reg.
I'm great.
Excellent. So I'm glad you're here because I have some business to take care of off the top of the show. I know you're a fan of the sugar-free energy drinks, and I've got this whole, like, selection problem going on here. So I've got me some some berry G Fuel, some lemonade G Fuel, and then some Sheetz exclusive G Fuel that I did not get from Sheetz here in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, where Sheetz doesn't exist.
Yep.
But shout out to my local convenience store for doing some import export work.
So when you go to an actual Sheetz, which is like a regional convenience store and gas station that I think started in like maybe the Pittsburgh area, but when you go to them, they do have some sort of partnership with G Fuel because they have like a whole G Fuel case with tons and tons of flavors. I didn't know there was a Sheetz exclusive flavor. I don't really drink G Fuel that often, but what is Sheetz flavor? What is it?
We'll find out.
Maybe that's when you have to try.
Well, hang on.
Oh, no.
Oh, there it is. I guess we're finding out.
How long was it sitting on the shelf exactly?
I don't know. It tastes like, I think it's supposed to be red licorice. It tastes like, it tastes kind of like a Twizzler.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I could.
It's got some Twizzler going on there.
I could maybe dig that.
Where do you stand on the Twizzler Red Vine debate, Veda? Some people are like, if you like Twizzlers, get you out of here. I can't talk to you. But I like them. I don't know.
So I grew up, my dad always had Twizzlers around. He had like a container with like Twizzlers in it. I associate Twizzlers, like the red Twizzlers, with my dad. So I would have to go with that. But, and I think they come in like strawberry or cherry. I don't know if you can really taste, but... I'm actually a black licorice person.
Oh, see, controversy.
and both Twizzlers and Red Vines, they both make black licorice. But I'm a black licorice person.
Yes.
I'm on the black jelly bean train too, and people think I'm hella weird. I'm like, yeah, they taste good.
The candy Good and Plenty. Does anyone know what that is? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
I'm gotta be out there in age for that.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that though, because like Team Black Licorice, we're not a big roster.
No.
It's not a big roster. We're not a very popular team to be on.
When I was in Copenhagen, which is like a big, big licorice area, Denmark. Like that's a big, black licorice is a very common flavor. I was able to find vegan, so it didn't have gelatin in it, black licorice bites, but they were salted black licorice. That was really good.
Those are some exclusive snacks right there.
But I'm sure it sounds disgusting, and I'm sure it is disgusting for like 99% of the population.
Yeah, most people look down upon people like black licorice. And I think on my 21st birthday, I took like 21 Jaeger bombs and like black licorice. Now I'm like, I don't know. Maybe everybody was right. It's crazy time.
I don't know.
Crazy time.
I'm glad you're here after that.
I am here. Yeah, exactly. I'm just
glad. Like, on the planet Earth.
I got to my 38th birthday from my 21st birthday, so whatever. We're here. I don't know how we got onto black licorice, but
yes.
Let's get on to some wrestling. Beta Scott, as Mike described, you are very, very, very busy out here in these independent wrestling streets. How do you manage your time these days is where I think I want to start. Because I think every time I open the Twitter app, it's like, Beta's on this show. And then it's like, all right, Beta's also on this show. I'm like, is that at the same time? How's Beta going to fly in the sky, run really fast? Like, what's going on here? How do you manage your time these days?
Sometimes it is at the same time, because I'm also really lucky to do a lot of post-production commentary. I have I'm not at home right now, but when I am at home, I have a little studio. So I'm able to do a ton of stuff recording in post. So that means that I'm actually able to call wrestling for places that I'm not able to physically go all the time. And that's really cool too.
That's so cool.
But outside of that, honestly, like I have a very deep-seated need to be busy constantly. So I feel like I am not busy enough. And I just happen to really, really enjoy what I do. And in like the most selfish way, like I have fun doing pro wrestling broadcasting. So therefore I want to do it 24 hours a day because I enjoy it.
It's funny that you say selfish when you're just talking about other people. That's your job. And it's like, that's pretty not selfish, I think.
But like in terms of like how to like time manage, I always feel like a lot of the time, like what I'm actually like the actual job is just traveling. Like the actual job is being like on the road, trying to figure out, navigate airports and flight delays and no sleep and all of that. And that's kind of like, that's the actual like work part of the job, and everything else is, it's work, but it's, you know, the fun stuff.
Yeah, driving 8 hours to Montreal.
Insane.
Yeah. No, that was a wild day. And hearing that show, like being there, it was so great to like go back and watch it.
It was a great show.
But like going back to hear you and Adam like do the commentary, it was like, oh, because there's some stuff that like, you know, I'm not super, you know, overly familiar with everybody always. And it's
right.
Like, hear that extra detail about something. It's like I got to watch the show like and appreciate it a second time over. And I think that's like, you know, the value that good commentary can add to a show.
This was IWS in Montreal, their 25th anniversary, un-effing sanctioned. That was like 2 weeks ago, something like that. What is time? But that was a huge show, like just absolutely just balls to the wall, violence and everything that IWF is known for. And I was so happy I got to be there. But yeah, I did have some travel issues that day. But it was great.
Traveling it's so crazy to add on to, because like the wrestling, like you're saying, when you get to the show, it's like bam, 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 you get to it. But then all the other things like add so much on to the wrestler lifestyle and what's going on there. How does doing a show like IWS in Montreal compare to doing like a New Japan Strong show? Is like the preparation going into the show the same? You like just figure out what the wrestlers are, figure out the story and get to it. Is it the same from the top to the bottom?
Can I tack?
Oh, go ahead.
Can I tack on and also, you know, doing some remote work for like somewhere like a crossbody pro wrestling at the same time, even like, because that's a huge triangle of range.
Yeah. So for me, it's kind of like it's a multi-pronged approach when I'm preparing for a commentary gig. First of all, like the number one thing is that I am just a really big pro wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So I truly do like watch everything because I enjoy watching it. And I truly do like it's not work for me outside of work. Like it's some, like I'm watching everything anyway, because it's what entertains me. Totally. But at the same time, like, because I'm, you know, I call wrestling a lot of different places, I have pretty good databases for myself that I keep together because that's just, it makes things easier. There's a lot of places where I am, you know, all the time every month, which lets me get to know people. Plus, there's some people who, like, I get to call a lot of their matches all different places. And then also, a lot of promotions, like, especially if I try to work with them on, like, making sure that I can get some information ahead of time, or like someone, a lot of times people will be like, hey, I made these notes up. Can you like, just to kind of like clue you in, which is really helpful with remote commentary if it's a place that like I haven't ever been and I'm trying to like learn, like, because with remote commentary, we have the opportunity now to call shows like around the world without traveling, which is really cool. And sometimes there's, you know, there's regions where maybe like they're, it's not like financially worth it for them to live stream a show, or like the internet isn't, you're not able to like live stream a show in like your facility. But if we can put it on YouTube or distribute it later, and maybe like we can work with it in post-production, add some commentary to it, like that can get that product out there. And that's a really collaborative effort. Cause like in the end, like what we're doing is putting on like live performance, right? So like me as the narrator, and then the wrestlers in the ring, and the official, and all of production, like we're all working towards this like common goal of this live performance for an audience. And my end of it, like as much information as I can gather, like that's how that helps me to like tell that story better. So I don't know. Also, like I'm just having fun.
End of the day, very important, super important. Like with all the places, do you have, because I know you keep your databases of you know, like wrestlers, promotions, do you have like just like your own record of like a log of the promotions you've done commentary at this point? Because it's gotta be
so
pretty much everywhere, I think.
I don't really keep track of like my own personal anything. I'm really bad with that. I'm not like nostalgic in any way. I never have enough pictures. I don't have anything like saved from shows I've been on. But I do have like the way that my notes are organized, I could probably go through it. It's a lot. But I don't know. Like I don't really like to. I think one of the reasons that I really enjoy like being the storyteller and the narrator is because like once I have to start looking too much at like my own stuff, it's hard. You guys know it's hard to even listen to your own voice to like edit something. It's difficult. Yeah. So it's the worst.
Yeah. It's I'm like, my voice sounds like that. I've been editing rap for the last couple of days and I'm like, dude, but you know, it's not what you hear, it's what they hear. And I don't know what they hear at this point, so I just can't judge or do anything about it.
I do our social media clipping, and just hearing this, I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, Judge, because I think you have a wonderful voice. You sound perfectly fine. I want to stick sharp objects in my ears as soon as my voice comes across my headset, like immediately. it's the worst.
But it's not about what you think, Mike. It's about what everyone else thinks. And people are listening, so it must be something. It's not, every comment's not like, these guys' voices are the worst I've ever heard of all time. So
this is true. This is true. We haven't got a comment yet that says Mike should just, like, you know, put him back in the backstage there. Van Twinblade, thanks for another super chat. Beta, you have a good wrestle brain. Why Shaza so mean?
Oh, see, here's the thing. I will never be anti-Shaza. I'm Team Shaza for life. I have to be. She was, we were tag team partners when she first started coming to America. She was like, this is very, very early on into my career and early to her career. I've turned on her a couple couple times, I think. But I'm pretty sure she...
But
she
you won't do this. It again here.
I probably would. But that's the thing. I can't keep a tag partner. This is known. But yep. But Shaza is amazing and so inspirational. And we just love Shaza. So I don't know. Shaza's never been mean to me. Maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's you. Maybe this is you problem.
Thank you for the super chat. Yeah, I mean, Twin Blade, this is a great point being made here, you know?
It's probably just the St. Louis thing, really. I think so. Yeah, it's gotta be it.
It's something in the water.
So here's the thing. I haven't witnessed Shaza in St. Louis, where I do hear that she maybe has a little different edge to her, but I haven't witnessed this, so.
Yeah, we've done some glory. We've had Dan the Dad come through. We've done. Mm-hmm. We definitely have done some. Got our eyeballs on some glory pro. It's not very nice.
St. Louis.
Okay. Yeah.
You know. Well, we're still on the commentary though, because part of something we are doing this month is celebrating Women's History Month, and mm-hmm. you do identify as non-binary. Although I would wager to say that over the years, you've faced many of the same barriers and discrimination as women do in the industry. Like, what is the holdup on like major wrestling promotions, you know, kind of diversifying the sound of their broadcasts? Because it's kind of wild to me that, you know, we're still living in an era, 2024, of like, we just hear a bunch of old dudes call it. Like, I'm hearing the same people call wrestling in 2024 that I heard when I was like an 8-year-old boy.
Well, and a lot of them are awesome. A lot of them are really, great. Really great True. At what they do.
Fantastic.
And a lot of people who are not or have not been have like kind of been, you know, pushed aside a little bit. I don't know though. The larger question that you're asking is I don't know the answer. I mean, I have a lot of like societal and cultural norms that pop up that perhaps like might provide somewhat of an answer. I know that a lot of times there's an expectation for sports broadcasters in general. to sound a certain way and to like fit a certain demographic, and that just is a thing, which sucks. But the thing about pro wrestling is that there are so many different stories happening in the ring now with pro wrestling and out of the ring too, in terms of just the people that are finding themselves finally able to have some power and the people who are, you know, trying to work to make pro wrestling more inclusive and also less of a friendly environment for the people who maybe we don't want around. Like there's to make, like, I am perfectly fine with every wrestling promotion that I'm in being an unfriendly environment for racists, for bigots, for homophobes. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, totally. I am not here to please everyone. Mm-mm. And I don't think, and I think that that's as the demos change a little bit in terms of who is performing in the ring. I'm hopeful that that will extend to out of the ring too. But in terms of like, just in terms of production, in terms of an office structure, in terms of anything, like it's important. And sometimes like a lot of incredible change can happen from the outside, but a lot of times it has to happen from the inside too. I think there's things happening. I think there's like movement, but it's an issue in pro wrestling, but it's so much bigger than pro wrestling. And right. I think that we're, you know, starting to try to navigate through that. But there are times where we're not where we need to be or should be on a lot of fronts. So
the parallel to major sports, actually, like the more I think about it, it's kind of weird. It's kind of wild to me because like, say women, across like all major sports, pretty much there's like women in coaching roles, referees, broadcasting, but like, it's still that, like the commentary position, say for like, I think basketball is like the only place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And they're like very, very recently, the first female identifying person to do play-by-play for baseball was actually just hired like very recently, like last week. And so for me, you know, it's kind of like understanding that there is a certain, you know, expectation, and understanding that like, I don't I don't fill that slot because I don't as a human being, and I don't want to. Like that's but yeah, I don't know. I all I can really do is try to not let things that I can't control like derail me. I think is the most important thing. And I think that's important for everyone who is maybe like feeling like, I don't know if there's a place for me in whatever you're doing, is not to let the aspects that you can't control derail you, but do let them motivate you and maybe make you a little angry sometimes too, depending on the situation.
Yeah. As Mike was describing it there, I was like thinking about all the commentators and every major promotion. And I was like, that's the one aspect that's still kind of just the same as it's always been. And like we've described here, a lot of them are insanely talented, some of the best ever, but it's just like, that hasn't been as diverse as I think it should be at this point. So, I mean, things are changing, constantly moving forward, and voices are being heard. I mean, Renee is like dominating the non-wrestling segments of the, you know, AEW programs. And, you know, there's things like that are happening. So there's steps being made, I think we could be excited about. Hopefully, Beta will be one that diversifies up the any major promotion, because it's definitely
Beta for Collision.
Beta for everything continuing this.
One thing I will say, and I hope it's okay if I talk about this. This has to do with my work I do with New Japan Pro Wrestling. In that situation, like there has certainly been, you know, especially for English language commentary in Japan and also the Strong shows, it was something that I had been, you know, had a goal for a goal was to my ultimate goal was to call English language pro wrestling for New Japan in Japan. Yep. And that didn't happen. But this is, for me, I had expressed that this was something I wanted to do, a direction I wanted to move into. And it's wrestling that I just love. And also the connection with Stardom as well. And I really was like pushing this, kind of pitching this. And the person who truly was like, okay, let's fucking do this. Can I curse on this show?
Yeah,
he might not have said effing. That might have been me. But it's Rocky Romero. It's Rocky Romero. And Rocky Romero is someone who I'm sure people talk about all the time on this show. But Rocky Romero was the person who was like, yeah, let's get Veda. Yep. Yeah, let's try this. Like, let's see. Like, I think you can do this. Let's see if you can do this. And like, gave me the chance to sink or swim. Was really what it was. And it was Rocky. And it continues to be Rocky, who pushes for so many people while also somehow like being on maybe the best run he's ever been on. And I've been a Rocky Romero for like, how? You ask me how I have time to do things? I think we need to investigate the time-space continuum around Rocky Romero.
Seriously.
But no, I can't say enough. Like, this is someone who like truly, not just me, but many others, like just believes in them. And it's like, hey, I think you can do this. And also, but not in like a, and it's going to like totally just like tank everything kind of way. Like he has, you know, he gives you the platform to, you know, to, like I said, sink or swim. And it was Rocky who put me out there. And I was, the first couple Strong shows that I called was with Ian and Alex Kozlov at the time. There's been a couple different teams, which shout out Ian. I love working with Ian. And shout out Kozlov, who is the funniest person on commentary maybe I've ever sat in a booth with. But just gave me the opportunity to try this and to do, you know, color for New Japan. And, you know, I've discussed how much I would like. I also am hugely passionate about doing the play-by-play role, not just there, but other places. I try to, I have, like, constantly like working on my own craft, but it's really validating to have someone be like, hey, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Let's make this work. And like, yeah, but that's important. That's, as we talk about there being like gaps, and as we talk about there being, you know, maybe we don't have like every, like maybe people aren't pushing for the right things, or maybe the right people aren't like pushing for the right things internally. No, it was Rocky who was really just like, yeah, we're going to do this. So
That's starting to become a theme at this point.
Yeah, that's a thing that I think has really, I think if we go back and like try to retrace the ways that like wrestling in general has changed based on just like Rocky.
It's like Conan. Like Conan was in 95 and 96 for Mexican wrestling. That's what Rocky is for great wrestling across the world, pretty much at this point.
Yep. And just like maybe it's not the people that necessarily you would 100% expect. Maybe it's not the people who like check all the boxes in terms of like what's the stereotype and what's, you know, what status quo. And I think that's important too, because you need someone who's pushing for you. So,
and yeah, he's definitely the change from within that you were speaking to earlier for sure.
Totally.
But like, yeah, like all the other stuff too, like the he is a linchpin of like holding together the, you know, I guess like, you know, relationship.
It's fundamentally not even like between like several.
Yeah. No, it's just like it's just Rocky Romero holding one rope. Rope in each hand, and he's just pulling everything.
That's what I'm saying. It's like became a theme at this point of like anytime someone's like, "Oh, I got this cool opportunity," somehow, some way, they're like, "And Rocky Romero was there. He got it for him." I'm like, "Well, Rock, he's like Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of separation of like great wrestling moments." And I just want to, I'm like, how can we give it Rocky his flowers? What more could be done to let him know that he's amazing? Because this is crazy.
I propose, hear me out, in order to acknowledge Rocky Romero, you remember like the Chuck Norris facts back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay, those, but they're all like, we just start making Rocky new Romero. Ones and they're all about Rocky Romero.
I think
there was a Twitter account at one point that was Billy Gunn facts.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
very similar when Billy Gunn was like having a moment.
That's amazing.
Crazy. Oh, hold on. We got more super chats.
Yep.
Hell yeah. There we go. Love
I'm
wrestling.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to be interviewed, but I'm
no,
also
you're
go
here.
Host mode.
You're on
I'm
the show.
It's perfect. That seemed like a great segue moment to go to them. So like,
sorry.
Broadcast professional, like, come on.
Yes.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's Love Wrestling. Veda's the friggin' best, full stop. Love them. I
back
wonder
at Love
that... Jeez,
oh,
Spencer.
I'm back at Love Wrestling at the end of the month as well. I think it's their 2-year anniversary is happening at the end of the month.
Whoa.
So very exciting. Love Wrestling.
Shout to Love Wrestling. 2 years. That's a long time in this economy. Like, legit. That's not even a bit.
Reg, these shows are sold out every month. These shows are sold out every month.
Yep.
Crazy.
The Rec Room, Edmonton, Alberta, last Friday of every month. I know that this one is definitely the 29th of March. It's my birthday.
Canadians thirsty for wrestling. Who would be surprised by this?
Yeah, it's LPW 24. It's Ramon themed. It's 2020. It's LPW 2020-24.
Oh, I love it.
The themes are always amazing. As soon as Steamboat Willie Steamboat Willie ended up in the public domain last month with Slamboat Willie.
They do like custom. You got to check out if you're not following Love Wrestling, you got to follow them now and follow LPW, their wrestling promotion. They do like custom art, themed art every single month for different for every show. It's really, really rad.
Yep. Zach is exceptional. Like this, and it's fun too. Cause now like I do some work with them as well. So like I'm in their Slack and I'll see the brainstorming going on. Like, and it makes sense. They're just all like lunatics in the best way. One more too. So Chris Maloney wants to know your favorite Canadian food and then Speedy's favorite American food.
Ooh, okay. So my favorite Canadian food, gosh, I like a lot of, I love an all dressed flavored anything.
Yeah.
That might be it. So not just the all dressed chips. Oh, those are good, but they're not wavy. Are they not wavy? They're flat.
These are not wavy. They're like Lay's.
All dressed.
They're not wavy, but the thing is the Lay's flavoring is better than the Ruffles flavoring.
So the Ruffles all dress are a classic, though.
Yeah.
All Dress Crispers, which are like a cracker type of thing. I don't know if they're all over Canada or just in Quebec. They're really good. But anything with the All Dressed flavor, I think, is a winner. We found All Dressed popcorn seasoning at one point, like that you like pour on Air Pop popcorn. Found that.
Okay.
And Mike eats everything. And it's anything.
It's hot dogs, right? It's
just seems like he's mostly always eating a hot dog.
That's all around the world. What an international food, the sausage.
Right.
You can find sausages of all sorts in every single country, every single region. And my husband has tried them all. Mm. We're in the Chicago area right now, so I'm sure there will be a Chicago dog happening in the next day or two.
He's a global glizzy champion.
They're everywhere. I think every culture has some sort of sausage, which makes sense because the tube meat is really using all the parts of the animal, right? That's so true. It makes sense that most regions would have some sort of tube meat or sausage.
Yeah. Pretty disgusting to think about.
I say tube meat again? Yeah. Tube meat.
Speaking of tubes, I was thinking of you bringing up Mike being brought up that giant slide that you. Where was that giant slide that you went down?
Oh,
and it was a lot faster than you were expecting. That video is hilarious.
That was in Berlin. So it's very German to have like giant play spaces and slides and things with like no supervision because like. Children are very self-sufficient. They can supervise themselves, deal with it. A few years ago when we were living in Essen with WXW, there was a Christmas mart that had this gigantic metal slide that was like, but not a tube. Like the ones that you would go on at a carnival in like a burlap sack.
Right.
Except this was just metal. Mm-hmm. And we went on it and it was so dangerous. We were like, we could have died. And it's fine. But this was also in Germany, so I should have known. It was a mall in the center of Berlin, and we were in Berlin for a day. We were walking around, and it was freezing. Like it was a lot colder than it had been. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's just step inside and get a coffee or something. So we just stepped into this. It's a mall, like a shopping center, and there was this like spiral tube slide going from the top floor to the bottom floor. So it was three stories. and I thought it was a sculpture or something, but then I saw a kid shoot out the bottom of it. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, we're going to go on the slide. So we went up, you go up to the top floor and it's like, it's free. You don't pay for it. And it doesn't have like an adult or anyone in. It's just an open tube.
Just get in.
And there's a light. There's like a light with, I guess, a sensor on it. So like when it's red, don't go because there's a kid in the tube. When it's green, it's okay. You can go. And I guess I hadn't really paid attention to the fact that it was like, although it's from the top floor to the bottom, it's three stories. It had like one twist in it. So it was mostly just like vertical. And afterwards it was fun, but it was like a surprisingly fast, like just steep drop. But yeah,
it was another, like you thought like I could probably die in this 1 second right now, but no, I'm safe actually.
Again, that's, and I actually used it to like go from the top floor down, like as a transit mode later when we were leaving. But that's a very German, that was like, felt like Germany, that there was like, just figure it out, handle it, you'll be fine. Because if you were unable to go down the slide or scared to go down the slide, you wouldn't, right? You'd probably be fine.
Right.
So, but yeah, that was in Germany.
Get it together, America. We can't slide down any giant slides over here.
I would, honestly, I would love it if like, there was a slide in my house from the top floor to the basement.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
It'd be amazing. I guess like that's a laundry chute. So, you know, do with it what I please, but
if you want anything could be a slide.
I'm glad you mentioned spending some time in Germany because like, this isn't something I normally get to ask people about. And it just came up as you were talking about it. But are you familiar with like German compliments? Like where it's like, oh, hey, your band was really good tonight, but you sounded a lot better last time kind of shit.
Yeah, just very honest.
Yeah.
They're like in Germany. I wouldn't know.
I'm so curious what like German wrestling compliments would be like.
The same. Like the Very much the same. It's also very like matter of fact, same with training. Like it's very much straightforward. And, but like my German friends are like super, super funny and everything, but also like very, very honest, like very blunt, mm-hmm. I guess I would say. Not like cruel, but just like blunt. And that applies to wrestling too. But yeah, that is not uncommon.
Not uncommon. So I just officially booked my flight to Philadelphia. I'm going to be at WrestleMania weekend. Where can I see Veda Scott? Because I know that you're going to be in a million places. Where are you booked so far?
So, well, first of all, on Wednesday, my week is starting on Wednesday. Okay. At Wednesday, I am going to be doing commentary for the first half of the Labor of Love Shawn Henderson production show that's happening. It's outside of Philly. It's in Germantown.
Someone was telling me about that show.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff on the show. Mike Bailey is wrestling Paul London on Wednesday evening. As bands. Yeah, bands and food trucks. There's a couple shows there over the Wednesday and Thursday, but I'm on that one. But then I'm leaving that to go to Pottsville to Pilgeroo, which is Tony Deppen and Friends Brewery, where we run our Twitch Wrestling Fightertainment shows because we are putting on Fightertainment Presents Tournament of Breath on April 3rd. More details on that to come. That'll be on Mike Bailey's Twitch, twitch.tv/speedballbailey. That is where we stream all of our Twitch wrestling shows. This one is a no ring show. It's on the floor of a brewery. We'll be doing that on Wednesday night. Then Mania weekend, where else am I? I have the Stardom. The Stardom American Dream show is going to be coming out of the arena on Thursday. That I'm super excited for.
The arena?
At the arena on Thursday.
Interesting.
And that's at I believe 3:00. And then after that is the WrestleCon Super Show, also at the arena. I'm going to be calling that one again this year too. That one I've been doing for the past couple of years, and it's always super, super fun. There's a bunch of other really cool shows happening at the Collective at the same time too. But I won't be there. And then in terms of Friday and Saturday, at midnight on Thursday night going into Friday is GCW versus the World. They just announced Shorty versus Masha Slamovich at that show happening at midnight.
Insane.
I will be there because I would never, ever miss that.
Right.
There's a bunch of other stuff Mania weekend that I'm trying to think what I've been announced for that I can confirm. Of course, Big Gay Brunch is happening on Saturday. I'll be there. There's also a Revolver and House of Glory show on Friday afternoon that I'll be calling.
But really?
It's outside of it's not in the Collective. It's not in. So it's in Philadelphia. It's in Philadelphia, but it's a different venue space. That's going down. There's too much happening. There's too much.
How do we do it? How do you do it all?
I'm so glad to be like off of like my day job right now and just waiting for like
I have to go to at least one arena show though. I'm gonna be in Philly like lifelong ECW young boy. I got to.
I would so Thursday there is Stardom at the arena and then Thursday night is Thursday evening I should say is the WrestleCon Super Show at the arena. Those are both gonna of course be awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else. There's also that, but then in addition, I'm not doing these shows, but in addition, because I'm busy at the same time. But in addition to the Collective shows, there's also stuff going down at H2O all week in terms of independent shows.
Yeah.
There's shows happening at the Monster Factory during the week. Like there's, and I guess WrestleCon too, which I unfortunately don't have time to like go to or think about. But there's so much. And then, of course, we've got all the Collective shows. We've got For the Culture. There's Wally Mania is happening in there, too. It's nuts. There's too much.
It's so crazy. I'm just going to be sitting here with like,
I don't know what to do.
And then the Joey Janela Spring Break and the Clusterfuck is back again this year. I'll be there.
You mentioned the H2O Arena stuff. There's that ETU versus Dragon Gate show.
Yeah.
And like,
what?
Like, Like, how far is New Jersey from Philly now?
So, quite honestly, to let everybody know, if you're thinking about going to any of, like, the H2O or Monster Factory shows, they are not far. I believe you would need a car. There's public transit in the area. It's not always the greatest. It's not like being in, like, New York City or even Chicago. Right. But there is transit. You could probably navigate it. But if you either have a car or get friends together, it's not super far. It's within 45 minutes to half an hour, depending.
Okay. That's H2O, not bad at all.
H2O is like right over the bridge into Jersey. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I would say check the times and stuff. But if anyone's thinking about going to any of those shows, don't feel like you have to miss out on them just because they're not in Philly. I think it's manageable.
My editor at PWI is doing a show.
Yes.
I think it's H2O. In New Jersey also. It's at the H2O place. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Sweet.
Yes. It's at the same time as, I want to say Big Gay Brunch, something that I really wanted to, yeah. but that's at H2O, and that show looks so sick. I really wanted to go to that. But yeah, it's nothing, it's not like, it's not, you know, right down the street, but I would say that if you're considering going to one of those shows and supporting one of those shows, it's manageable, just kind of GPS it a little bit.
I love that for 4 to 5 days out of the year, one city just gets turned into like the Netflix menu of independent wrestling events.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the best. Also, we don't need to do a collective recap or preview episode now. I'm just going to clip the last like 5 minutes of the podcast.
Veda definitely did it.
Veda totally did that for us, and it's awesome.
There's also Defy in Progress, which I'm not going to be able to be there for, but there is Defy in Progress and Bloodsport. So Defy, that's all at the collective. I think Defy is actually running the first show of the collective weekend. It's at like 11 a.m. on Thursday. That's going to be huge. And then after that is Bloodsport, which I always love Bloodsport. I have to miss it this time because I'm working at a different show, but that's going to be awesome.
Have they announced Mike's WrestleCon match?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's
big
RVD.
Big fan of this one.
It's RVD. Oh, yes. It's RVD. Yeah. Oh, my God.
There's also DDT at the DDT's at the Collective on Thursday night as well. And I'm hoping to at least be able to catch like the last match or two of that when I'm done with my own work, because I just love DDT. There's also a Tokyo Joshi show happening at the Collective, as well as Tokyo Joshi versus GCW. The rosters for those shows have been announced, but they haven't started announcing the matches yet. But like pretty much with the rosters announced, like it's crazy. It's a
rosters are
lineup.
Insane.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of. I was like, there was a Moonlight Express match that I was like, mm-hmm. The CCK match that got announced.
Yeah, it's at Defy.
That's going to be like that first show. Oh my God, that's the first show of the Collective.
That's the first show of the Collective. And that's night before that, on Wednesday, Speedball will have wrestled Paul London and wrestled, I don't even know exactly how many matches during our own Twitch show, because it's kind of it's not wrestling, it's fightertainment. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on these particular programs. So yes, Speedball will have also been helping produce and run a show the night before as well. So
I love it.
I know with fightertainment, usually it's you'll find out exactly what's happening like really when you watch it.
Yeah,
you can only guess based on, you know, graphics and names of things. But Tournament of Breath killed
Tournament
me.
Tournament of Breath.
if there's any kind of, you know, like lung capacity requirements for this show, I would like to just. I think I could be your champion.
I'm throwing my name in the hat, too, if that's the case.
I think.
Yeah, you got tag titles.
I think as soon as names and information starts getting announced, it'll start coming together. It might not be exactly what people think it's going to be, but I assure you it is better. Also, speaking of Fightertainment and Philadelphia, I have to plug Fightertainment and Captured Lightning, which is the amazing free wrestling YouTube show that the Worldwide Dojo and Cheeseburger put out. Captured Lightning / the Worldwide Dojo and Fightertainment are actually going to be doing a collab, a co-produced show.
Right.
Captured Lightertainment is happening not this upcoming, not tomorrow, but next Thursday in Philly. And that is also going to be streamed on Speedball's Twitch channel. And little bits of that are coming out now as the matches are coming together. But it's basically Fightertainment versus Captured Lightning. And our plans are to try to bring Fightertainment and work with different promotions all over the place so we can kind of just like get these awesome like mixes of styles. So and cool. Fightertainment is normally on ramps, but at Captured Lightning and at the Worldwide Dojo, there's a ring. So how's that going to change stuff? And also, we are having the very first ever at that Captured Lightning Fightertainment show, the very first ever Artertainment match sponsored by my new YouTube show, Drawing Power. So it's like plugs on plugs.
It's fun because you mentioned cheeseburger, and I was gonna segue to Drawing Power anyway. So like, let's go. But yeah, your YouTube channel. Yes. You know, you got your vlogs going on, which are awesome, and then a new series that has popped up. Y'all need to watch it. Honestly, like you already know I'm a big fan, but like Drawing Power, it is an interview series. You're interviewing wrestlers backstage at shows. Well, also. Like the interview is being kind of carried through the vehicle of drawing at the same time. How did it all come about? And like, how's the response been?
Oh my gosh, I'm having so much fun with it. The main reason that I wanted to start doing Drawing Power or doing anything in general was because I kind of came into this year feeling a little frustrated, a little down, a little just like, I don't really know like what my ceiling, like, I don't know. I felt like I talked about like trying to push away things that I can't actively control. That's very difficult, obviously. Mm-hmm. So feeling like I had too many things in my career and in my work life that were, able, like too influenced by other people, like too up to other people in terms of like, my booking schedule or like my paydays or like, if I like, will I ever like have a regular gig here or here or here? And it was just, it's too much. And it was too much that I didn't have control over at all. So I was like, I need a project that's mine that I can use to practice things that I want to have time for. And I'd never had time to really work on all as much because I was too busy, you know, traveling so much, working for other people, editing and like, you know, Photoshop and like just different lighting techniques, different things that I wanted to have more time to enhance and grow my own skill set. And I didn't have time to do that. So I was like, well, if I start doing my own show and I, you know, I produce it myself, I edit it myself, I do all that and I distribute it, then I'm going to have the chance to try all these things and practice all these things. And also it's for me. And it's under my umbrella and I'm not on someone else's schedule and I'm not depending on someone else to like cash out my invoice or anything. Like it's all me. And it also like, it's a fun concept. I'm having fun with it. It's the kind of interview shows that I like to listen to where it's just more conversational than anything. And also like, I don't know. I just sitting around and drawing with crayons, even if you're in the middle of like an interview, it's very calming. It's very soothing. And another aspect of it, and this is one that I haven't really talked about all that much, is that like, you know, I am a neurodivergent person. I am someone who, you know, maybe focuses in different ways. And this is something that I talk to a lot with people in wrestling and how it's sometimes really hard to do a lot of media and to do a lot of interviewing because it's exhausting and like it's hard to always be like constantly like masking and things. And this might be going a little too deep with this, but I was like, the most comfortable way for me to talk to someone or to like do an interview is if I was like doing something else. And by comfortable, I mean like that was when I would feel, that's where I feel like people are able to like let their guard down and just like be themselves as much as they want to. Mm-hmm. And the idea that like, okay, we can sit down and just like do a chill activity and talk. And that was kind of like what went into it. So it's, there's layers to it, but it's very much my baby right now. So.
That's really cool. I kind of maybe bouncing off of that, how open you and Mike are about mental health and kind of like this could be a lot just in general things, you know, bookings and flying and traveling and getting back home and not having bookings and all the things. Describe to us a little bit about just like forgetting about being Beta the commentator, forgetting about being Beta the wrestler, and just being Beta the human.
Yeah. So I think for me, a lot of it was, if we go back, I guess it's four years now, kind of at the start of the COVID pandemic, and I up till then had kept like my real self and my like wrestling self very separated. Yeah. Like obviously there were aspects, but like in terms of like social media and things like that, it was kind of just to like promote my shows or whatever. Yep. But then like suddenly there was nothing to promote. And there were no shows and there was nothing and we were all kind of isolated. But then at the same time, we were confronted with and had some time to really reconcile with various atrocities.
Just yeah. Stuck in a box with yourself.
A real reckoning about just the state of just systemic racism, the state yeah. of power relations, the state of so many things around the world and in the United States in particular, that it was like, there's no benefit to trying to not be myself yep. all the time. And like, of course there are benefits in terms of like, and this is something that I still maintain, in terms of like basic like protections for yourself.
Of course.
And also if like you feel like you need to step back, like shut the screen down, like mm-hmm. it's okay. But I realized that everyone was feeling very lonely and everyone was feeling very isolated for good reason. And there was no reason for me to like not be myself all the time because there was no character to play anymore. Like there was nothing happening. And I think that was like a real like eye-opening moment for me and for a lot of people, because I think that yeah. that change happened for a lot of people. And now it's like everyone, like we're so fucking tired and and no one has money and we can't pay our student loans and like there's no fucking healthcare and everything is a mess. And like, it's exhausting to have to like pretend that like that is okay. And that
groceries are expensive. It's like what is going yeah. on here?
It's exhausting to just have to like that. And so I don't know. I think I'm just another very, very tired little potato of a person. Definitely. And it sometimes is comforting to realize that there's lots of other little potatoes in the patch all around you.
That solidarity, the solidarity of it, honestly, really is, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
you and me both, but it's like just nice knowing that there's, you know, other people that are
it's comforting, like, damn, like it sucks for me, but it also sucks for a lot of other people, so that's also kind of cool, I guess. I don't know,
like, well, it's not cool also that it sucks, it's just cool that we're not alone in the suck,
right? Yeah, totally,
yeah, and people also understand. Just in terms of like, again, I hate whenever I hear anyone say like, well, you know, internet friends, they're not like real life. And it's like, no, we are in a completely electronic and digital yeah. just time frame now. And there is no real life. There's no yeah. such thing as just a purely what like terrestrial real life. Truly. And like the idea that like someone might have to be isolated and feel alone because of their, you know, how they're working through their gender identity or something like that, just because there's no one in like physical proximity to them that understands that or talks about that. Like, that's bullshit. And the idea that, you know, me and some other people having a conversation about that, but it's online, but it's on YouTube, but it's on Twitter, and that makes it less real. I think that it's always safe. It's always good to like keep an eye out for misinformation. It's always safe. Totally. It's always good to have, you know, a high level of media literacy. But the idea that like talking about things like that makes it less real because it's online is that's not how things are anymore. Mm. And I think that's another thing that really pushes me to like be open about, you know, my brain and everything, because that dialogue, I think, helps me work things out and helps other people work things out too. That's all.
So that's cool. It. Amazing. Thank you for sharing. Honestly, it's a crazy place to exist. I think we got a super chat in here. Ooh. Mike. week?
We do. Chris Maloney would like to know. Veda, thoughts on Bull Nakano in the
Hell
WWE
yeah.
Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, first of all, actual living legend.
Legit.
I saw some folks were like, a question, because she wasn't in, you know, WWF for very long, didn't do a whole lot, because that is not what the atmosphere was at the time.
Yeah.
But that's not, I don't think, what their Hall of Fame, like, even is at this point. No. It's just sort of like a general acknowledgement. But yeah, she's awesome. In terms of like Bull Nakano, the performer that we all know, but also just today, like she's still you know, around and still involved. And there's been like multiple shows that I've been at or on in Japan where like Bull just comes around hanging out. Like she's
about to be at one on the 23rd West Coast Pro, baby.
Yeah. She's and sometimes it's like in a like a appearance capacity. Sometimes it's just like she's just around, like she continues to like be around, give advice, and she's just, I think she's just a real cool lady, I think is what it comes down to.
Excited about that March 23rd West Coast Pro, gonna be a really dope show. They've announced some amazing matches, and Bull's gonna be there, the soon to be WWE Hall of Famer. Congrats on that. I'm excited, super excited.
I got too much wrestling to watch, man.
It's too much, Mike. It's too much. I can't keep up. Like, if you miss a show, like, I missed some. I wanted to watch some shows this week, and I missed. I'm like, I guess I'll never see those again.
They're gone. That's a weird thing, too, with how, like, time works. And it's good and bad. With, like, a match will happen, right? And it's, like, everyone's talking about it, and it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And it's match of the year, and it's 6 stars. And then it's wild how quickly, like, the wrestling, like, news cycle changes. And then, like, it feels like, was that 4 months ago? No, it was last week. And it's, like, it's good and bad to me because it's, like, it means that there's just constant, like, constant wrestling. And it also means that if, like, something maybe isn't so great, it's not the end of the world. That like,
that's what people
make it
really
out
need
to, be.
To get to. Yeah,
that like just because you didn't like a particular thing you saw on like a particular TV show, like I'm not talking about something that was like egregious in terms of like a human rights violation. I'm talking about like something you thought was silly and like it didn't kill the wrestling business. No. Nobody will remember it in a week except for you and your like. WWE botch account or whatever. Like it's
oh god,
it's not the end of the world. We can all move on. In the end, this is a TV show.
People can't even remember the last thing that killed the business because another thing happened. It's like a great place. It's like a gift and a curse. We exist in this great place where like we'll see the best match of the year and on Saturday, and then your husband on Wednesday does the best match of the year you've ever seen again, and then on Thursday Ospreay does the best match, and it's like on Friday Michael Okuz. It's like I can't keep up. It's great. And like for the history of time, like we'll be able to look back and be like, this is crazy. But now it just feels like overwhelming. I guess it's a great place to exist as, you know, a wrestling fan.
I've been trying to watch night one of WXW 16 karat gold for 2 fucking days.
Yeah, it's just
I've got like 2 hours in on that shit. But I will say, watch Mandries versus Luke Jacobs, because that shit was crazy good.
Oh, I was so pumped to see Manders get to 16 karat. Like, he is...
That's hot.
He is built... We talk about German wrestling, we talk about WXW, but there's, like, of course, a very long tradition of, like, big boys hitting real hard. Yeah. That is, of course, where Gunther Walter is from. Ilya, same thing. And, like, Manders just fits so well into that just aesthetic. I was super pumped.
Everything Manders has done over the last couple of years has just been so fun to watch. I still like one of my favorite Manders matches is him and Mike at Wrestling Revolver.
That match was amazing.
Was so good. So good. That was still one of my favorite matches from like that probably Wrestling Revolver period.
But Mike's getting into Bryan Danielson territory. I'm going to start being like, okay, name a good match this person had. Mike Bailey, now that doesn't count. Name another good match. Like,
okay,
I could have a great match with Mike Bailey.
We can say this though, right? Like that's the match.
Yeah.
Mike Bailey versus Bryan Danielson is the match. Like
I mean, we're all waiting.
That's one of the very few like actual like holy shit dream matches that I think is still.
Time's ticking, Veda. Do you think we have a chance at that? I know we can't.
I don't.
But like, weird time is ticking. It's coming up.
I don't know, but that's the match. Somebody, please make it happen for all of us. Please.
Like, Pro wrestling needs it for the soul, man.
Come on, one like, more. We're about to get the Osprey match. Like, come on, like,
right?
We need that speedball match. Let's go. Let's do this.
Just saying, that's the match.
We'll see. I don't know. Will somebody book it? Can somebody book it?
It's wrestling. Anybody can book anything. It's
I don't
wrestling.
Know. I don't know how these things work. Impact.
But for now, NW? I will take the Osprey match because I think that's going to be. It might be pretty good.
I almost changed my Mania flight to St. Louis. I almost was like, yeah, For the Culture is going to be great, but I got to. I didn't know, you guys. I'll be there, okay?
Well, I was going to say, Mania week, though, that's just, ugh.
What Vader Everything, just described, I'm like, I don't even, where am I going?
I don't have an, like, we need to do like a second day a week or something, or like
somebody has like the big schedule thing, and I'm like, I'll look at that and like get it
Phil,
down. But
Phil
it's still
Stamper
impossible.
Is a hero.
Yes, Phil Stamper. Well,
Phil Stamper is a hero for that schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Philadelphia, which is the best city on the entire fucking planet.
Pro wrestling.
So it's not just not just for wrestling, for everything.
Just for wrestling, Vader.
Just for everything that there is. It's a steaming garbage pile, and I love it so much. So, yeah, how will you even have time to go to the shows when there's so many sights and things to see and eat in Philadelphia? Oh.
My ECW heart is just boop, 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 boop. Like I've been hearing about Philly for so long.
Dude,
this
yeah.
is like, it's surreal at this point.
You can go get a picture with Gritty.
I don't know about all that.
Yo, love Gritty.
I'd rather get a picture with Sandman than Gritty.
Oh my god. If Gritty's not in the clusterfuck. Oh my god.
I know
god.
They're working on it at least.
I don't know anything about this year's clusterfuck.
That's my big manifest for Mania.
Mm-hmm. Gritty in the clusterfuck. So I don't know anything about the clusterfuck. I don't know anything about the clusterfuck. I think it is supposed to be like maybe the biggest ever this year. I'm not sure. Like I think if I feel like yeah, so I don't know. There's room for one Gritty, at least, I think.
Look,
the Philly Fanatic, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just need to speak on
good.
This. The Philly Fanatic is the greatest sports mascot of any sport in the history of the world. Gritty is a close second. Yuppie can eat my shorts. Yuppie is the is another sports mascot that is very, very close to Gritty, but not as good.
So if the Fanatic... If the Fanatic or Gritty ran for president, would they get your vote over Hambone?
So, honestly, I feel like of all of those choices, I would probably, although he is quite chaotic, I think it's more of a chaotic good, I would probably trust Gritty, honestly, in the White House more than anyone else. He seems to have the most, like, together in general. Because, again, the Fanatic, that's a favorite always.
Yeah.
But the thing about Hambone is, and I posted a picture earlier today on Twitter. I was wearing a shirt that says Hambone for president. Hambone is one of the pork racers. This is obvious. I don't know why I'm bothering to explain this, but Hambone is one of the pork racers, which is one of the four pork themed mascot characters at the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, my local minor league baseball team. Hambone though is the best one. He's a giant ham, like a ham that you would eat. But the pork racers, they race around the field at a break in the game. And Hambone, he's not the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
And he's certainly not the most athletic. And it's the flat, sheared off ham surface. He tends to fall to pitch forward and just sort of like land on his ham face. But he has heart. He has gumption.
Is that song, Hambone, Hambone, Where You Been? With the thing? That's his song?
So what
is it connected?
It's not connected because I didn't get to tell you the other four pork racers. It's not just Hambone because he's a ham. They're all pork related foods.
Gotcha.
That you can eat at the baseball field.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's
marketing.
There's some marketing in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's Diggity the hot dog, crispy bacon the bacon, and barbecue. She's a pulled pork sandwich. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now so my thing is, I don't know that I would want to get. Again, I love Hambone, but I don't. He's not been shown to be a winner.
Hambone would need the whole team. It sounds like it couldn't just be Hambone. It had to be crispy bacon, barbecue.
That's the full cabinet. Honestly, I would probably run crispy bacon. I feel like bacon is universally beloved.
That's true. Yeah.
Diggity has the heart and mind of a politician. He is a known cheater in the pork races. So there is no one who will in any way appreciate my pork race analysis. But
nobody's beating bacon in a
no,
vote.
I would
like, everybody's 100%. Voting for bacon.
I'm running crispy bacon. I'm putting barbecue. I would say probably VP.
Yeah.
And that's where I would go. And I would actually put Diggity the hot dog, maybe just as like campaign manager. Like he'd be behind the whole thing.
Right. Like, cause that's hot dogs are a wild card. Like, so either people like really like them or like really hate them. So like,
yeah. You
know, gotta have them in the back playing in the background.
And ham bone's sort of like a. He'd probably be more of like a mascot situation. Like he would remain a mascot. I wouldn't run Hambone.
You just
Hambone's your friend that drinks too much. I'm like, oh, that's just Hambone. Don't worry about Hambone.
I wouldn't run Hambone.
I feel very Hambone.
We started with hot dogs and got back to hot dogs.
Yes, we did. Two meats forever. I'm actually vegetarian. I don't eat any of these.
See, I don't know. All these things happen.
I'm loving this because like for me this is you know you said why should I have to explain this, you should all just know this stuff. I know you said that sarcastically, but like this is actually Beta Scott vlog lore. So for me this is like I know what's going on here.
If you watch the vlogs, you know the Iron Pigs and you know the Iron Pigs characters.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Speedball a Diggity? Is he just a Diggity fan by default?
Oh no, this is a purely Hambone household.
Oh, okay.
There's no conversation about this. Mm-hmm. We have a stuffed Hambone. Yeah, we have a Hambone plushie. We have a Hambone Christmas tree ornament signed by the Ham himself.
Wow.
So this is
valuable.
Serious.
Wow.
That's more valuable than when he brought the X Division belt in there. That's a bit, you guys. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. All right. Well, like, you know, we started at pork products. We made it back around to pork products.
Yes.
But before we let you go, you gave us a bunch of plugs, but what we do like to also get on here is your goals for 2024. Love a good goal here on Indie.
Love some goals.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I want to keep growing and building drawing power and see what I can do with that. Maybe even expand beyond people in wrestling. I'm just having a lot of fun with that and playing with that. So I want to keep improving on all aspects of that. That's a huge one for me. I mentioned that I'm not busy enough because I just want to like call all the wrestling everywhere. But to be completely honest, like I want to continue to work with New Japan. I have a huge goal to call a show in Japan at some point. I'm very excited to also do this Stardom New Japan show that's happening during Mania Week and kind of get that Stardom connection going. I want to travel. But my one thing, like I do genuinely like. I, as a wrestling fan, because I grew up a wrestling fan, because I watch wrestling on TV every week, I mean, obviously the goal is, my biggest goal is to someday call pro wrestling, just weekly episodic pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. And whether that's like a television product or whether that's something else, because there's all different possibilities out there now. Just the idea of like being able to expand the stories of a set, you know, weekly episodic nature is I think a huge challenge and one that I'm very fortunate to get to take on in terms of YouTube wrestling with Crossbody Pro Wrestling. It's a company out of Canada. They do a weekly show and Speedball and I actually provide the commentary. We record that every week. And the challenge of organizing like the weekly stories and keeping up with what's going on and conveying all of that it's a huge challenge, but it's a really fun one. And it's incredible to watch, you know, the talent grow and change from week to week. So I just want to, my number one goal is to do that. Is to just like be involved in some sort of, you know, progressive episodic kind of ongoing thing with wrestling. Cause I think that's a challenge that I've dipped my toes in a lot. But I've never had the opportunity to do on like the level that I want to do it. So that's probably it.
Well, I I can confidently say that most of the wrestling world is behind you on wanting to see you check that one off. So, want to thank you again so much for coming to hang out with us today. I'm glad we could, I'm glad we could do this. I'm actually I'm kind of happy that we were able to reschedule it almost because there's just so much cool shit that's happened since January already that we got to talk about today too. Do you have anything you'd like to plug where people can find you before we go?
Yeah. So, so if you look down there at It's Veda Time is on, the X, I guess we have to call it now. Every single time I do a plug, I'm like, on Twitter at It's Veda Time. I kind of link everything off of there, but there you'll find my various sites. I have a link tree there. My YouTube channel is a thing that I'm really working hard on right now to grow. So if you don't already subscribe to my YouTube, please, 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 please subscribe to my YouTube channel. And you can just, you know, follow me. That's the number one thing is kind of just like, check out what I'm doing and check out the stuff I'm sharing. That's the big one. That's the biggest one.
Hell yeah. And that YouTube link actually is in the video description below.
Oh,
so
thank you. Thank you.
Quick awesome. Access. Go click it. Click subscribe. Watch Drawing Power. It's really, really awesome. Reg, how about yourself? You know, where are you at? What do you got?
I'm only going with one plug today. New Righteous Reg, righteousreg.bandcamp.com, International Boulevard. I worked really hard on these raps. Go check them out. Very excited about it. I'm continuing to add on stuff there because I don't care. Time doesn't matter. Nothing matters in the world. Enjoy yourself. Eat a hot dog if you want to. Eat a Hot Pocket if you want to. Watch some TV. Smoke some pot. Drink some soda. Drink some water. That's it. I don't know.
Drink some water.
Drink some water, importantly. Yeah. A lot of it.
I'm not going to plug shit. I can't say it better. My Twitter is there. Everything else can be found from there. We'll see you next Wednesday. I don't even really know who else we have next week. We have one guest. You know, we are doing some Women's History Month this month. So my goal is I would like to get some people on the come up.
I got I think I have some. Yeah. I think I have
the show last week with the IWS, with some of the women from IWS was awesome. That was really cool.
Thank you. Solo hosting was nerve wracking. I haven't done it literally since like Reg joined the show all 2 years ago. So
they're just all incredible, and I'm super excited to see them get that platform.
Yeah, it's they're dope, honestly. And next week, another great Canadian though. One confirmed guest is Rose from Western Canada, British Columbia. So. You know, look forward to that, and we'll have some more people here. We'll see you next week. Love you. Watch. Crossbody's not on tonight. I can't pitch out the Crossbody. Shit.
No. Although I believe this Sunday. And is the live YouTube show. So you want to check that out. And then I think Uproar is going to start taping again soon. So we should have Uproar episodes ready for you in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to be there Sunday for the live show. And then next Friday, I think, is the first taping. So,
yay.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway, see you next week. Love you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.